This is Thursday. Tomorrow, Christ will be crucified. And he is spending one night with his disciples. You know, when somebody knows they're going to die, they say the things that are most important in life. They don't hold back any longer. There's no reason not to say what is important. Thank you. Hope my notes are still in here. There's no reason to say what is not important. So Christ on this one night, this is 25% of the Gospel of John on this one night. This is important stuff. Thursday, Friday is coming. And Jesus is talking to them and he says, The hour of my glorification is here. I will be highly exalted and lifted. I'll be exalted and highly exalted, lifted up and highly exalted. And we have seen in John what that means is that is a reference to the cross. That is a reference to the cross. He will be exalted to the Father, but he has to go through the cross for that to happen. And so he comes to this night and he's talking to his disciples and he's preparing them for life AD, after his death. He is preparing them for what is to come. He's saying, I'm going to be absent from you. We're not going to have this face-to-face conversation any longer. He's telling them, you need to remain steadfast. In chapter 15, verses 1 through 9, he talks about abiding in the vine. You need to abide in me. And he's telling them that the world is going to hate you. There's going to be hardship and there's going to be hostility from the world. Also in chapter 15, verses, he says in verse 19, verse 18, if the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. That's coming. I'm not going to be here. The world's going to hate you. And though he will be gone, and though the world is going to hate them, these words are meant to encourage them that they're not going to be alone. He actually will be with them, but it's going to be different. It's going to look a little different from now on. But eventually, they will be with him again. And so he begins this conversation of chapters 13 through 17 with the story of Jesus washing the disciples' feet. Now, when we read these chapters, just kind of as an aside, this is a personal conversation between Jesus and the disciples. So how do we determine what applies to us and what doesn't? We've talked about, you know, there are descriptive passages in Scripture and there are prescriptive passages. Descriptive describes, it just tells us what happened. Prescriptive tells us how we are to live. And so in a personal conversation with the 12 apostles, our task is going to be, how do we know? How do we know what applies to me and to you? And how do we know what he was just saying to his disciples? You know, in chapters 14 through 16, he talks about the Holy Spirit coming, and the Holy Spirit will remind you of all the things that I have said to you. So is that a promise for us, or is that a promise for the disciples? You know, Jesus never said anything to me. So if he's going to remind me of everything Jesus said to me, he's going to remind me of nothing except what's in the Word. That was a promise for the apostles when it came time to write the Scripture, that the Holy Spirit would remind them of everything that Jesus said to them. So how do we apply those things? That's going to be our task. That's just kind of an aside there. When we come to the washing of the disciples' feet, this is a story. We say, yeah, we all know this story. It's a story of we need to consider others higher than ourselves. We need to humble ourselves and consider others higher than ourselves. And that's true. That is a simple lesson. But I think there's a lot more going on in this story than just that simple lesson. And so what I want us to see in chapter 13, verses 1 through 20 today is that The life of a Christ follower is distinguished by a value set that is countercultural to society. If we are living just like everybody else around us, there is no distinction in our life that we are any different from them. There's no distinction in our life that we are Christ followers. And Jesus is going to turn on its head the values of the culture and say, you are not to live like this, but you are to live like this. So we begin in verse 1 through verse 5. We're going to look at this in three sections. If you have your bulletin, they're there. We're going to look at the seriousness of foot washing. In order to understand this, we need to understand, you know, why did he pick foot washing? Why not wash your hands or do something else? So the seriousness of foot washing, and then the symbolism of foot washing. What does that actually mean? And then the significance of foot washing. What does it mean? What does it mean for us? So let's begin in verse 1. Let me read verses 1 through 5 for us. Let's start at verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Verse 1 is going to be a flag. This verse 1 is a flag that's flying over the story of foot washing. It says before the feast of the Passover. That doesn't contradict that this is a Passover piece. This is a banner. When I was a teenager, once a month after Sunday night, all the teens used to have church buses, and we'd get in a bus and we'd go to another church where teens from all the other churches would come, and we'd have this singspiration. We get to sing all the new choruses that were not allowed to sing in the churches. We like those, but you're not going to sing those. And so once a month we'd go there, and one of those was "His Banner Over Me Is Love." Some of you old folks here might remember that song. Well, verse 1 is a banner. It is a banner of love over the story of Jesus washing the feet of the disciples. And it says, before the feast. So as they were preparing for the feast, Jesus knew his hour had come. How did he know that? Remember, he met the Greeks. The Greeks came and said, we want to meet with Jesus. These were not Jews. This was someone outside of Judaism. And we're told in chapter 12 that Jesus knew that his hour had come. This had been the hour that my hour is not yet come. Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour is not yet come. Well, the hour has come. And that hour happens tomorrow. And Jesus knew that his hour had come. And it says, for him to depart out of the world to the Father, having loved his own. This is a new his own. The first his own was he came into his own and his own received him not. This is a new his own. He is loving these disciples who are his own. They were in the world and he loved them to the end. So what do we see? It's a look back. Jesus had loved these guys. He had loved them for the first 12 chapters of John. And now he's going to love them to the end. What does that mean? It means he's going to love them to the cross, to the very end of his life. You know, we have a saying, I just love you to death. And they're really, it's not that I'm literally going to die. It means I love you as much as you can be loved. I love you with total commitment. I love you. Well, this word means both of those things. That Jesus fulfills that symbolically, that he loved the disciples to the full, but also he loved the disciples to the end, to his death. So that banner stands over this, and then we read verses 2 through 5. Verses 2 through 5, the significance of the foot washing. During supper, when the devil had already put in the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Judas and Satan were working together. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand and that he had come to God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garment, and taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. What is the significance of this? In order to understand this story, we need to understand the idea of foot washing. What did that mean? Foot washing during this time was as necessary as brushing your teeth is today. You know, there used to be an old commercial, brush your teeth after every meal. I don't know anyone who ever did that. But these folks did wash their feet before every meal. So it was, you know, if you wear open sandals and you walk around the dusty streets and you're going to get dirty and stuff was thrown on the streets and you don't go into someone's house to have a meal with dirty feet. And so it was done for hospitality and it was done for the act of eating a meal. And so foot washing was done in preparation for the meal. The host did not wash the feet. That was the job of the slave. If there was a slave, the slave would wash the feet of the people coming into the home to eat. If there was a Gentile slave and a Jewish slave, then the Gentile slave would wash the feet because this was the one thing no one would do. No one is going to wash someone else's feet. They could wash their own feet. As a matter of fact, there is no record in Judaism or in Roman documents before this time of any superior of any sort ever washing the feet of someone considered inferior. This is just not something that's done. Even Abraham, remember Abraham? Abraham was known for hospitality. But Abraham never washed his guest's feet. If you read the passage in Genesis 18, verses 1 through 6, in there, verse 4 says that he provided water for them to wash their own feet. And who were his guests? Yeah, these were the Lord and the angels, and he didn't even wash their feet. This is significant. We need to grasp the seriousness of this. No one wanted to wash anyone else's feet. But who did it? This is the key to understanding this passage. Jesus knows he's going to die. And in verse 3, it says, he comes from God. Jesus, this is his status. He is from God. His destiny, he's going back to God. And what has he been given? He's been given the sovereign authority over all things. Kind of reminds you of the Great Commission. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. You know, if I would have been in Jesus' shoes at that point, and you know, I read that, you know, Satan had already put it in Judas's heart to betray him. And I'm from God, I'm going to God, I have all authority over all things. I think I'm going to defeat the devil and I'm going to judge Judas. But he didn't. Instead, he washes feet, even those of the betrayer. And in verse 5, it says, he got up from supper. This wasn't even before the meal. This was not simply an act of hospitality. This was something he was going to make a significant point here. And he gets up during the meal and he lays aside his outer garment and he's dressed as a slave for the work of a slave. And he's dressed in a way that Jews and Gentiles would both look down on him. Does that remind you of any passage? Maybe one that X read, Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. Who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form, He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. That is what Jesus is picturing. We need to understand that. You know, normally when we talk about foot washing, we mean that we should be true examples of humility. And while that is true, there's a lot more going on here than just that. There's something specific for the apostles. This chapter comes on the heels of chapter 10. Remember when Jesus was in conflict with the Jewish leaders in chapter 10, and he talks about, I am the good shepherd. And some of the things he said in chapter 10, verse 7, he says, I'm the door for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers. Sheep didn't listen to them. I'm the door. Anyone who enters will be saved. Verse 10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Who was he talking about? He was talking about the Jewish religious leaders, that they had come to kill and destroy and to ravish the sheep. And he says, I am the good shepherd. I lay down my life for the sheep. And Jesus is showing his disciples that there's going to be a new Israel, and you are going to be the leaders of this new group of people I am calling to myself. And we see that in Revelation chapter 21, very end of the book. Revelation chapter 21, verses 12 through 14. Let me just read this. And this is a section talking about the New Jerusalem. And it says, it had a great high wall with 12 gates. At the gates were 12 angels, and on the gates the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel were inscribed. On the east, 3 gates, and on the north, 3 gates, and on the south, 3 gates, and on the west, 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. He's saying, you 12 are going to be the new leaders of what will be known as the church. And we see that developing in the book of Acts. This is a bit radical. It's no longer important who your mother is, and it's no longer important that you are made right with God by obeying the 10 commandments, the law of Moses. It doesn't matter that you are a Jew any longer. And Jesus is saying, I am replacing all of that. I am replacing everything that's happened. This is a Jewish carpenter from Nazareth coming in and saying, everything that you have heard all of your life, that's not the way it's going to be any longer. I often think, you know, it would have been great to have been alive during Jesus' time, but the more I read John, the more I think, I would have been just like the disciples. They didn't get any of this. They didn't get it, and they often look kind of, you know, like the Keystone Cops in the comedy. When Jesus says something, it's like nobody understands what he's saying. But the importance of this story is not in the washing, but it's in who is doing the washing. God himself taking on, in human form, taking on the position of a slave and washing their feet. Why? What's the symbolism of washing feet? Verses 6 through 11. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? Jesus answered him, what I am doing you do not understand now, but afterwards you will understand. Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no share with me. Simon Peter said to him, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, the one who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, you, plural, all of you are clean, but not every one of you. for he knew who was to betray him. That was why he said, not all of you are clean. Peter's objection. Peter's one of those guys, you know, if you don't know what to say, say something and say it loud. And if you say it loud enough, you might win the argument. We're not told the order here of how Jesus washed the feet, but the picture is they're sitting at the table, probably leaning on their left elbow, and they're eating, their feet behind them, and Jesus gets up, and he goes around, and he starts washing the feet. And Peter, probably expressing the opinion of all the disciples. The first one's probably too shocked to know what to do and hoping Jesus is going to explain this because this makes no sense at all. And Peter uses an emphatic you. You are going to wash my feet. In verse 8, you will never wash my feet. And they didn't understand. Jesus says, later you will understand. When was later? I don't really know. It could have been after the resurrection they started to understand, but what did they do? They went back fishing. So maybe they didn't quite understand everything then. They definitely understood by Pentecost, the book of Acts, because Peter is now preaching and thousands are coming to Christ, but they will understand. And Jesus said, if I don't wash your feet, you have no share with me. You have no share. This is the main point of this symbolism. What does it mean? Well, the word no share means participation. You have no participation in what I'm doing. Or the idea of inheritance, especially is related to future destiny, or we would say eschatology, things of the future. It's used in Revelation a number of times that to share means you have no participation. You have no inheritance. This is serious stuff. That if you don't allow me to do this, you have no purpose in my work. You have no purpose in my life. You have no purpose in my values that will enable you to share my destiny. That is a serious statement. So what is he talking about? I must wash your feet or you have no share in this. Remember, the whole passage is preparing them for his departure. It's preparing him for the mission. In verse 20, he says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever receives the one I send receives me. Whoever receives me receives the one who sent me. Jesus is going to send them. He's preparing them. And he says, if I do not wash your feet, you have no part in any of this. You're in the same category as Judas. If I do not wash your feet. And Peter says, don't stop in my feet. My hands, my feet, whatever. I'm in. I am all in. And I think that's it. Oftentimes, and we say, they were clean. It's going to say you were totally clean. So washing the feet is, we sin, and so we need to confess. And 1 John 1:9, if you confess your sins, faithful and just, forgive you our sins. Feet, those are sins we commit. I'm not sure that's what he's saying. I think secondarily, that is true. But I think what he is saying is, I need to do this so there is solidarity, so there is relationship. Because I am so far above you, there's no way I should be washing your feet. But if I wash your feet, it means there is a relationship. There is a special relationship, and if you allow me to wash your feet, we are in solidarity, and we are going to complete this mission. So they had their feet washed. They had their feet washed in order to participate in the plan of Jesus for their life. It's the equivalent of chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. Abide in me. Jesus is saying the same thing he's going to say later in chapter 15. Abide in me. The disciples were saying by their allowing this that I'm all in. Whatever you want, I'm with you. I want to participate. I want to have a part in anything that you want from me. It's commitment. It is a special relationship. And so the question, if we think, if we think metaphorically, has Jesus washed our feet? Are we committed? Is there that relationship? Are we saying, whatever you want, I'm here? You know, one of the best definitions I've heard of salvation or the gospel is that it is facts to be believed, it's a person to be received, and it's a life to be lived. And I think that's what he's saying here as we read down further. He talks about you have been bathed. You are totally clean. You have believed in those facts. You believe I am the Messiah. You don't need to have your whole body washed. You need to have your feet washed. We need to have this relationship. When I was a kid, the only time I wore shoes was either in church or playing baseball in a baseball field. The rest of the time, you're barefoot. And you're running around playing baseball in your yard or whatever you're doing. And my mom would say, you need to go wash your feet. She wouldn't say, you need to go take a bath. And I was grateful for that. I hated washing my feet. But I was grateful she didn't say, you need to go take a bath every night. And bath was Friday night. Washing your feet was every night. And so these are different. He's saying, you are clean. You have believed. And now We need to connect. We need to have a solidarity here. We need to have a continued relationship and fellowship. You might think of this as sanctification. Both of these are necessary. You know, the bath was a great initial step of belief. You believe that I'm Messiah. Now it's time to wash your feet. Now it's time for me to wash your feet. You're not washing the feet. I am washing your feet. I am making that solidarity with you because you have a job to do. You're going to be the leaders of the church. What made the disciples clean before the washing of the feet? Well, those were the words of Jesus in chapter 15, and I think this hopefully will make this clear. Chapter 15, verse 3. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Jesus' words made them clean. You are clean. You are my children. You have believed in me. Now what's necessary? Verse 4 of chapter 15. Abide in me and I in you. As the branches cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. That's why I'm washing your feet. Abide in me. How are we abiding? You know, Pepper gave a great testimony. You know, he made a profession of faith in a camp when he was 13 years old. No one discipled him. No one taught him anything. So nothing ever happened in his life. But it's happened. Yes. Now there is that solidarity with Christ. There is a purpose. And we've said this many times. We have people in our churches all over the United States who one time made a profession of faith and nothing, blank, crickets in their life. And Jesus is saying, I need to wash your feet. There needs to be solidarity. So what's the significance of this? Verses 12 through 20. When he had washed their feet and put on their outer garments and resumed his place, he said to them, do you understand what I've done to you? Answer that, no. You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. I am not speaking of all of you. I know whom I have chosen, but the scripture will be fulfilled. He who ate my bread has lifted his heel against me. I'm telling you this now before it takes place, that when it does take place, you may believe that I am. He is added. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever receives the one I send receives me, and whoever receives me receives the one who sent me. The point of the foot washing is not in the washing, not in the cleansing, but it's in the identity and the status of the one washing the feet. Secondarily, 1 John 1:9 comes in, that we have that solidarity. We're still sinners. We still sin. And we want to keep that solidarity pure. So we often confess. We confess daily for the forgiveness of our sins. But I don't think in the first place that the washing of the feet is actually pointing to that. It's pointing to the relationship. And the point is, if someone great does this, how much more should the lesser do the same? And the conclusion is crystal clear. If he did this for them, how much more should they be willing to do it for each other? Verse 12 says, he put his garment back on. This is something that very easy to skip over. Verse 4 says, he laid aside his garment. Verse 12 says, he put it back on. That's describing crucifixion. Those are not the normal words used for describing taking off your clothes and putting your clothes on. Those are the words Jesus used in verse 10 when he says, I have the authority to lay down my life and I have the authority to take it up again. He's using the same words that this act of washing feet it symbolizes the cross. It symbolizes the humiliation of the cross, that Jesus will humble himself, as Paul said in Philippians, to the point of death on the cross. Disciples, they didn't get any of this, but they will. Verse 13, he says, teacher and Lord. And notice in verse 13, teacher and Lord, and then that's reversed in when Jesus talks to him, you call me Lord and teacher. Later he's going to say, I tell you this before it happens so that you may believe that I am. That is a proclamation of God. That goes back to who sent me, Moses said, and he says, tell him I am sent you. The God who always was and is and will be has sent you. So when he's talking here, some people think this is like the confession of Thomas at the end when Jesus shows him the holes and the scars, and he says, my Lord and my God. When he says Lord, that's this is the typical word. It can mean deity, or it can mean yes, sir, or master, or husband, and a lot of different things. But in this particular use is used with it's used with an article, which gives it more authority. And many of the people who have studied this say this is Peter acknowledging the deity of Christ. And he says, my teacher and Lord. And he says, if you say these things, if then your Lord and teacher have washed your feet, if then, or really since, or because it's true that I've washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. The point of this is that Jesus is giving them an example. He's saying, I am God. I am washing your feet. We have a special relation, a solidarity to accomplish the will of the Father. And I am doing this as an example for you, the way that you should live your life. And he says, since you know this, blessed are you if you do them. Blessed are you. What's that word mean? Remember, blessed are, sometimes they pastors or preachers use the word happy. I'm not real thrilled about that translation of it, but it's the idea of satisfied, content. This is the best way to live your life. And so he's saying, if you do this, if you wash each other's feet, this is the best thing for you, to wash someone else's feet. This is the way life was meant to be lived. Then Judas pops back up, and we're going to come back to Judas next week. But Jesus says, you know, I'm telling you about Judas just so when I die, you'll remember that I told you about Judas, and you will know that I am. You will know that I am deity. You will know that I am God. You will know that this relationship does not end. So what's the conclusion? This is important because they have a mission to carry on for Christ. And anyone who receives Christ has a ministry to carry on. What does it mean for them? Jesus is giving them the authority they need to lead God's people. And the mission he is sending them on will be characterized by the same humble service that he's showing them by washing their feet. Their mission will be characterized by a willingness to die. Their mission will be characterized by being Jesus in the world. Oswald Chambers said, "The real test of the saint is not preaching the gospel, but washing disciples' feet. Doing the things that do not count in the estimate of men, but count everything in the estimate of God." This passage is an abolition of relationships in the church based on status. The conduct of the church going forward should be governed by love and sacrificial service, and not preserving your place of authority as the Jewish leaders had done. He's giving them a new paradigm that if foot washing is not beneath anyone's dignity, then nothing is beneath anyone's dignity. Foot washing was mundane. It was a normal part of life. Nobody did it for anyone else, but it was a normal part of life. And so Jesus is saying, because you believe I'm the Messiah, because you have solidarity and commitment with me, because this is mundane, serve others in the mundane practices of life. Hero worship was not foot washing. It was not remarkable. He's saying perform acts of kindness for others whenever the need arises. You know, when we read John, the big verse that sticks out is John 3:16, "For God so loved the world, he gave his son, whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." There's another verse John wrote that I think is of equal importance, and that's 1 John 3:16. And what does he say there? 1 John 3:16 says, "By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers." Amen. And the sisters. So when we come to this passage, there's so much more here than just, you know, be a nice guy, do some nice things for people. Mm-hmm. This starts at the very top with the elders of the church. This talks to husbands in the family. This talks to the oldest of the kids in the family. This talks to the best student in the room. And it talks to the best athlete in the room. It talks to the most beautiful person in the room. It talks to all believers. And it says, if this is true, if I would do this for you, and you believe I did this for you, and you have a relationship with me because of this, then you need to be a foot washer. That is the message to the church today. Jesus says later in the same chapter, "New commandment I give you, that you love one another." And how do people know? By this, they will know that you are my disciples. So the encouragement today from this passage is let's be a body of foot washers. No one seeking their own, no one saying, what position can I attain? But forget the positions. Let's wash each other's feet in whatever role that you are in, whatever that means in your circumstances, let's be foot washers. Let's pray together.
Thank you for listening to the Providence Church podcast. By subscribing to the podcast, you can keep up with the weekly preaching of Providence Church as well as other recordings. You can access any additional content such as helpful articles by following the link in the description or by visiting our website at providencewfl.com. You can also stay up to date on these messages and others by looking us up on Facebook at providencewfl. Providence Church exists to glorify God by treasuring Christ, loving people, and making disciples. Thanks for listening.